The scripture this reading this evening is from the prophecy of Hosea. And I'm actually going to read chapters 1 and 2, and that's on page 953 and 954 in the back of our in the Old Testament section of our Bibles. Hosea. The word of Hosea, listen to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredoms by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." So she conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them all, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord called his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel should be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," it shall be said to them, "Children of the living God." And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brothers, "You are my people," and to your sisters, "You have received mercy." Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face, and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. Upon her children also I will have no mercy, because they are children of whoredom. For their mother has played the whore, she who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, "I will go after my lovers who gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore I will hedge her up. I will hedge up her way with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. She shall pursue her lovers but not overtake them. And she shall seek them but shall not find them. Then she shall say, 'I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now.' And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore I will take back my grain in its time and my wine in its season, and I will take back my wool and my flax, which were to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, for no one shall rescue her out of my hand. And I will put an end to all her mirth, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed feasts. And I will lay waste her vines, her fig trees, of which she said, 'These are my wages, which my lovers have given me.' And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall devour them. And I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, when she offered burnt offerings to them, and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry, and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and she shall be remembered, and they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow and the sword and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. And I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil. And they shall answer Jezreel, and I will sow her for myself in the land. And I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. So far the reading of the Word of God. This evening we're going to look at this. And the text is actually verse 15. And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer. And the other translations say, and there she shall sing, as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, bless your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel. And we pray and thank you that Jesus Christ is the one who really is the door of hope. He is the one who gives us eternal life, and we come to Him by faith and trust in Him alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, the story of Hosea is a very interesting story. The whole story of Hosea is like a parable. And it pictures the relationship between God and His people. And that relationship in other parts of the Bible is described as shepherd and sheep, or as father and son. But here, the relationship between God and His people is compared to a husband and a wife. And that certainly is picked up in the New Testament as well, where the Apostle Paul, reflecting Jesus says, a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they shall become one flesh. And Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. And this symbol of marriage is a beautiful picture of the relationship between God and His people. It is intimate. It is permanent. It is a relationship of love. And so God is dealing with His people, and He is sending Hosea, the prophet, to teach them and to call them back to the Lord because they had forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They had rejected the Lord. And what Israel was constantly doing was going after other gods. Idolatry was a terrible, terrible thing among them. They worshipped gods of stone, gods of wood. They worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth. They worship Moloch. They would even give their little babies into the belching hand of Moloch. I mean, it was horrible what the children of Israel did. And all of that was against the true God. It was like a wife. Israel was called a wife. Just like the church is called a bride, Israel was called the wife of the Lord. And when they went after other gods, it was like a wife saying no to her husband and going after other guys. I mean, how terrible is that? And that's exactly what Israel was doing. And God called it idolatry and spiritual adultery. It's both. It's idolatry and worshiping other gods, and it's adultery forsaking the one who loved you and who gave Himself for you. And so the Lord calls Hosea. And He says, Hosea, I want you to tell the people about my faithfulness and about the love of God for His people. I want you to tell them how much I love them. And I want you to tell them that I will never forsake them. And that I will be with them forever. And that they are my people. For I, the Lord, change not. There is no shadow of turning with him. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to assure my people of that. But I want my people to repent. They've got to turn away from idolatry. They've got to turn away from their departure of me. They've got to come back. Return ye, O return ye unto God, is the chorus of the Bible. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's Isaiah 55. It's a marvelous truth. But that truth is found throughout the entire Bible. And so here we have Hosea. Hosea was told by the Lord to marry a wife of whoredom. Go take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Nibliam, and she conceived and bare him a son. So can you imagine? This is what the Lord told Hosea to do. Marry a wife of whoredom. Take her out of a terrible, terrible life. You see, the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth was surrounded by prostitution. Baal and Ashtaroth were considered the gods of fertility. And in order to stimulate the gods of fertility, the people who were around those idols had to engage in all kinds of sexual perversity, because this was intended by Baal and Ashtaroth to stimulate them to give production to the lands, to give production to the fields, to give production to the flocks and the herds. And all of that was done. I mean, it's just horrible. It's just opposite. And you see, when Elijah called the prophets of Baal to come on Mount Carmel, and Elijah said to all the people and the prophets of Baal, the God who answers by fire is God. And so he said to the prophets, 450 of them, call on Baal. Call on Baal to send fire and devour the sacrifice on this altar. And so all day they cried, oh, Baal, hear us, Baal, hear us. And you know how they cut themselves and so on and so forth. And even when the sun was at its highest, and Baal was supposed to be the highest because he was the one that gave fertility and strength and growth to the crops and fields and to the animals. Elijah says, call on Baal, call on him. And so they did, and they cut themselves, and the whole day passed as they were doing this. And then Elijah says, okay, come to me. And so he built the altar to the Lord. And he says, pour water on it. And they poured water on it, soaked it down. And then Elijah prayed, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove yourself to these your people, that you are indeed the true and living God. And out of heaven came a blaze of fire and devoured the offering, which had been soaked with water, devoured the whole altar, and the people said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And then the rain came. See, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. So the people learned a great lesson, but you know what? They didn't stay at that point saying, the Lord, He is God. Hosea is called, actually, the deathbed prophet of Israel. You see that in the introduction in our Bibles. Because he was the last prophet before the northern kingdom fell to Assyria in 722 B.C. I mean, it was terrible. And so Hosea is called upon to marry a wife of whoredom and to have children of whoredom. And so he has three children. First a son, then a daughter, then another son. And the first was a son. Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. And that's what happened. Assyria came and defeated them. And then she conceived and bore a daughter, and the Lord said to him, call her name No Mercy. For I will have no more mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or sword or by war, horses or horsemen. When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son, and the Lord said, call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. That's how terrible it was in that day. And so the Lord was judging his people for their apostasy and their sin. You know what their sin was? Chapter 4, the first few verses. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land itself mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea are taken away. I mean, it was a terrible situation in Israel. Really awful. And so he marries Gomer, has these three children. And then God says, plead with your mother, for she is not my wife and I am not her husband, that she put away the whoring from her face and her adultery, lest I stripped her naked. Lay upon her children also will I have no mercy. These are judgments of God. And then, after he says, I will punish her for the feast days of Baal, when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with rings and jewels, and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord, then, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak tenderly to her. There I will give her her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall answer or sing as in the days of her youth at the time she came out of the land of Egypt. Now this is the situation. The Lord is telling his people that he is remembering his covenant for them. He loves them with an everlasting love. He will not forsake them because he has made a covenant with them. And he says, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. You know what that is a picture of? It's a picture of what has already happened in the history of Israel. They were in Egypt for 450 years. And then God took them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And he brought them through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. And then where did he bring them? He brought them into the wilderness. And what did God do in the wilderness? He spoke tenderly to them. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He gave them water from the flinty rock. And he helped them so that their shoes didn't wear out, their feet didn't get sore, and they were blessed by him. Of course, there was punishment in the wilderness too. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who conspired to go back to Egypt and who rebelled against Moses. You remember how the earth swallowed them up. Then, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, And God was with them day and night. His cloud of His presence came over the temple, over the tabernacle. And God was with them. He provided daily for their needs. He loved them with an everlasting love. He cared for them. And then they cross the Jordan River. And God gives them a wonderful, wonderful victory over the city of Jericho. Remember that song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came a tumbling down. It was a marvelous victory as they entered into the promised land. And the next little town that they were to conquer was the town of Ai. It was a small town. The spies who had gone to Ai said to Joshua, you do not have to have a big army to defeat Ai. Ai is just a little town. We can take that with a few thousand men. So Joshua sent an army of 3,000 men to defeat Ai. What happened? Ai defeated them. And 36 of the Israelite soldiers were killed. And Joshua cries to the Lord. He tears his robes and he says, oh Lord, what happened? You gave us great victory over the city of Jericho, and now the little town of Ai just creams us and defeats us and kills 36 of our men. What have we done? Oh Lord, have you forgotten us? And the Lord said to Joshua, there's sin in the camp. There is sin in the camp. You remember, he says to Joshua, that I said that the city of Jericho is mine, and no one may take anything out of the city of Jericho, because that whole city is dedicated to me, says the Lord. I gave you victory over the city of Jericho. All the walls came tumbling down, and the entire city is consecrated to the Lord. It is His possession. No one may take anything out of it. And God said to Joshua, someone did. Someone stole from me. Someone stole from what I consecrated to myself. There's sin in the camp. And that sin must be rooted out. It must be rooted out. You will not be able to proceed into the promised land unless that sin and that rebellion and that materialism and that greed and that faithlessness, who didn't believe my word, that's got to be rooted out. And so Joshua called the people together and said, there's been sin in the camp. That's why we lost the battle of Ai. And we got to find out who did it. And so he called the tribes. And it was the tribe of Judah that was singled out. And then he called the various clans of the tribe of Judah. And it was this clan that was singled out. And then in that clan he called the families. And it was the family of Achan that was singled out. And Joshua says, Achan, my son, give glory to God and tell me what you did. And Achan said, I was in the city, and I saw silver, I saw gold, I saw wonderful clothes, and I took it. And I hid it in the bottom of my tent, under the floor of my tent. I dug a hole, and that's where you'll find the silver, the gold, the clothes, and what I stole. And Joshua asked some of his men to go into Achan's tent and find it, and he did. And God said, that sin must be put away. It must be punished. So they took Achan and his family and the silver, the gold, the clothes that he stole, and they stoned them. And then they burned them. And then God gave them victory in Ai. And you know where that all happened? It was the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor became a door of hope. There was no hope for Israel as long as that sin was unpunished. There was no hope. But when that sin was put away, the valley of trouble where that happened, because the word achor means trouble, the valley of trouble became the doorway of hope. The sin had to be put away. You see, God is a holy God. He cannot abide that which is unholy and impure and rebellious. He cannot. He had said to Adam, didn't he, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And do you know, God is the same today as He was then. He never changes. He is always the same. But in this story of Hosea, God is showing them that in the valley of trouble, the valley of Achor, there is a door of hope. When that sin was dealt with, then the whole promised land was opened to them. And they proceeded to occupy the promised land, and it became the land of Israel. It was through that door of hope that they had wonderful, wonderful victory. And of course, you know how it didn't last. Hosea was living in that land of Israel, and I mean, they had reverted back to sin again. But the principle is there. The valley of trouble becomes a door of hope. Now, let's fast forward this to the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the true Israel of God. The word Israel, the name Israel, which Jacob received when he fought with God in the brook, and God changed his name from Jacob, the deceiver, to Israel. That name means Prince of God. Who is the true Israel? Who is the true Prince of God? He is Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, for the mouth of the Lord hath declared it. Jesus Christ is the one who is the true Israel of God. But it was through the troubling of Jesus Christ that we have a door of hope. What was the trouble that Jesus went through? Well, Isaiah describes it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's trouble. Jesus went through the darkest night of trouble. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. And what was the poorness of Jesus? It wasn't that he was born in a barn. That was part of it. But that was only the surface of it. His real poverty is that he was rejected of the Lord. God turned his back on Jesus Christ. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gave his life on Calvary's cross. That was trouble. But it is through the valley of trouble that we have hope. It was through the death and suffering and anguish of our Savior, where he was forsaken of God, that we might be forever accepted of God. There was punishment, yes, like David says in Psalm 103, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, but he surely dealt with his only begotten Son regarding our sins. He laid them all on him, and he punished him. By his wounds we are healed. He was forsaken of God. That was trouble, but through the valley of trouble is a door of hope. Because Jesus arose on the third day. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. See, that's the hope we have. The valley of trouble, where sin was dealt with, became the very door of hope. And we have a living hope, born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, unto an inheritance that can never perish away, which is reserved in heaven for us, who are guarded by faith unto that great redemption ready to be revealed in the last times. We have a door of hope, and that door is Jesus Christ. I am the door. He that comes in through me shall find rest and peace. Have you gone through that door? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? He was punished for you and for me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Could He devote His sacred head for such a worm as I? We sing that. We sing of Him, O sacred head now wounded, by grief and shame weighed down. What language shall I borrow to thank Thee, dearest friend, for this Thy dying sorrow, Thy pity without end? O, make me Thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee. So the door of the valley of trouble for Israel, the valley of Achor, Achan had to be put away. Then there was a door of hope. Jesus Christ went through the valley of trouble for you and me. Psalm 84 says, going through the valley of weeping, it becomes a place of springs. It's exactly right. Now, what's the response of God's people in that valley? You know what Hosea says? And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope, and she shall sing as in the days of her youth. You know, the days of Israel's youth was when they came out of the land of Egypt. And they came through the Red Sea. And what was their response after they had gone through the Red Sea and came out on the other side on dry ground? What happened? Miriam led them in singing. And she and all the women sang. And you read of that in Exodus chapter 15. A beautiful song of Miriam after the deliverance through the Red Sea. Then Moses and Israel sang this song of the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and host He cast into the sea, and His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The Lord is good. I will plant them, and bring them in and plant them in my own mountain, a place, O Lord, which You have made for Your abode, the sanctuary, O God, where Your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. That's the response of God's people. The Lord does it all. It's not what my hands have done that can save my guilty soul. Not all my sorrows, tears can bear this awful load. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can part and speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. And how does He do it? He does it by paying the price. Christ did. The valley of trouble became the door of hope. Do you know that, Lord? Do you know that, Savior? Have you committed yourself to Him? There's a lot of hopelessness in the world in which we live. A lot of hopelessness. There are people who are discouraged, who are down, depressed. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. They've departed from the Lord. They're not doing His will. They're living in a wrong way. And they're paying the consequences. You know what Proverbs says? The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. But there's hope for the transgressor. There's hope for everyone who is hopeless. There's hope for everyone who was downed. There's hope for everyone who is discouraged and depressed. And there's hope for everyone. And that hope is found in no one else than Jesus Christ. He went through the valley of trouble. And He paid the price and set us free. And He says, "Now come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." And you can fill in the blanks of what that means. Weary and heavy laden. "Come unto Me, and you will find rest unto your souls, for My burden is easy, and My burden is light." So come unto Me, like we sing, "just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. And since Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." And when we come to Him, we come through the door of hope. And there's a living hope. No matter how bad things have been, there is a bright and glorious future for everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me," says Jesus. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." There's a wonderful future. There's a wonderful future. "I am the resurrection and the life," said Jesus. "He that comes to Me, I will never cast out." So let us come to the Lord, even tonight. If you don't know the Lord, if you're a stranger to Him, come to the Savior. Come. All you have to do is say what the publican of old says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said of him, he went home justified. He had peace. He had peace. He went through the door of hope, and he had hope that will never, never fail. You have that tonight. Oh, may the Lord grant that each one of us has that. That we know Jesus as our Savior. That we know Him and trust in Him for this life and for the life to come. And everyone said, amen. Oh, Lord in heaven, thank You for the door of hope. The valley of trouble became a door of hope. Oh Lord, thank You for Jesus Christ, who is the door. May we love and serve Him. And if there's anyone who hears this tonight and doesn't know the Lord Jesus, oh Heavenly Father, make it clear to him or to her, to that young person, make it clear to them that they may call upon the Lord. And You said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You went through that valley of trouble for me and for each one who calls upon You. In Jesus' name, amen.